Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Sometimes when we have an experience seeing a ghost or a spirit, whatever you want to call it, we don't really know it is a ghost or a spirit at the time because sometimes it looks very real, very solid, very much like it belongs in our atmosphere. I mean, you just walk around, go for a walk down the road, and someone tells you, guess what? You saw a ghost. I did? Sometimes it's not very obvious. Until patterns arise. That's how you can kind of figure things out with most things in life. Patterns. Our next story, we hear about a young person out on a trail ride that comes in encounter with not the ghost of a spirit, but the ghost of a horse that continues to linger. A long mystery behind its whereabouts. Take a listen. This is probably the most famous of our ghosts in our area, and the one that I've seen the most. As a kid growing up in a small historic town in Ontario, you could not help but hear all the folklore and stories about the haunting of a specific graveyard. There's a lot I have to say about this area. This particular story has to do specifically with my encounters with what was, I believe, a ghost horse. As a young kid, one of the few things we were able to do as a family was go horseback riding. We go a couple times each summer. One of our favorite spots was a ranch not very far from my childhood home. I guess it was your average horse ranch, consisting of about 30 or so horses, a handful of ponies. I'm roughly guessing that it was about a 40-acre ranch consisting of probably about 50-50 fields to forest. I used to love going there. I had a child crush on one of the young girl farmhands. The first time I saw the ghost horse was actually one of the last times I rode at the ranch. I think it was late August, just before school started. I was about 11 or 12 years old. The ranch was a nice place. It had an old two-story white farmhouse with a small front porch about a midway down a wide dirt driveway. The barn was in the back behind the house about 300 to 400 feet. It was a dusty old barn with a large door in the middle and had about 20 old stalls on both sides. The back of the barn opened like the front, and behind the barn was a rolling field with a small stream in the middle and a bush lot forest behind. When you're looking at the farm, from the road to the left was a large fenced-in field where the horses would graze and wander around. The fence line would run from the back of the barn out south left side to the edge of the forest and then up to the road along the road edge to the driveway and back to the front left corner of the barn. On the right side of the barn was a very similar field, except the fenced-in area was only half the size. It did not touch the barn and ended very near the back of the farmhouse. It also stopped midfield from the forest to the north right side. This was the pony riding area where a large circle was worn into the ground from where the farmhands would walk the ponies for the younger riders. Next to the barn, on the right side, was a large way of hay bales. There were two typical riding paths for the horses. The first would start at the barn and then continue out between the hay pile and pony corral, moving north on the right side, behind the pony corral and out into the open field. Then it would cut up diagonally across the field to the intersection of the field and the forest, very near the road. The path would then tuck into the forest. The north end of the forest was young, full of underbrush with wild raspberry bushes and young maple trees. The trail would turn west towards the back of the ranch and travel into the backwoods. The backwoods were older and more established with tall trees. The land also was more contoured and had several small rolling hills. At the back of the woods was a ravine. The ravine was wide and the sides had a very gentle slope. The first path would head down into the ravine and cross to the far side. Once on the far side, the trail would continue south towards the left side of the property. We traveled at the back of the forest and not very far away from the cornfield. At times you could see through the trees and see the cornfield through openings in the brush. The forest was very open on the inside and you could see quite far into the far side of the ravine and into the forest closer to the ranch. It had rolling hills, old rotted tree trunks littered on the ground. Sunlight passing through the tree canopy of the forest created a very nice calming effect and a very surreal feeling about the forest. As the trail arrived at the southernmost back corner of the property, the trail would cross back over the ravine. The ravine walls here were steeper, and I can remember my first few times being very cautious about how the horse moved down into the bottom of the ravine, as I was not an accomplished rider and was afraid of falling off the horse. Going down was the hard part. The horse seemed to climb the other side in just a couple of bounces. On the other side, the trail would continue east towards the front road. The path continued along a large land roll that was built up to keep the deep drainage ditch past the southern property line from overflowing into the forest. Beyond the deep ditch was a thin strip of brush and trees, and then the Texas Road graveyard. We'd passed very near to it. The trail continued along the older forest. As it got closer to the roadside, front southeastern corner, the tall trees faded into a younger brush-filled area. The trail would then exit very close to the road and continue in front of the fenced-in grazing area along the road edge to the driveway. Then the trail would turn back down the driveway and end at the barn. This was the most common route. The other route would start the same at first, from the barn, passing behind the pony corral, to the northeast corner of the property, and into the forest. It would continue to the edge of the ravine at the back of the property, but then it would not cross. Instead, it would cut back towards the barn and exit the forest in the back northwest corner of the backfield and travel along the open area behind the stream. I like this trail, too, because you got a good look at the ranch and the open area. It was actually quite beautiful. The trail would continue along the back of the field to the southwest corner and tuck back into the forest. Then it would meet up with the first trail at the second ravine crossing. It would continue along the south side near the graveyard and back out along the front road and back to the barn. I know it's a lot of detail, but I need to explain the area as it is very significant to the ghost horse appearances. The large area was framed in by a dirt road, traveling along the southern edge of the Texas Road graveyard to a bridge that crossed over the ravine. The ravine ran along the backside of Sutton Creek Forest and continued north out across the landscape. Behind the forest to the west was several large farm fields, typically cornfields. This particular ride was panning out like usual, other than I got stung by two bees before we left the barn. Remember, I got a large brown horse, quarter, I think. There were about five of us in total for the trail, plus the trail master, who was a younger man that had taken me out on the trail for most of my visits. My sister was riding her first horse, and it was her first time on the trail. The other riders consisted of a middle-aged man, his wife, who was so large the first horse laid down and refused to move until she got off. They got a bigger horse, but it had a hard time getting her on because she was too short. We had many chuckles over it. The last person was a teenage boy who was also on his first ride. The ride started as all the others had, and we set out across the ranch behind the pony corral and into the forest on the far side. All was going well until we started to pass into the old forest. At first, the problem seemed small and ordinary. Heavy woman's horse would stop and refuse to continue. I thought it was due to her weight, like the first horse she had. We'd have to stop and the trail master go back of the line, tug the horse into moving forward. Then as we continued, other horses stopped and had to be coaxed into moving too. Notice that my horse was looking around and twitching his ears. Typically, they just trotted along the path with their heads lazily looking forward. It seemed that they knew the path and routine and would practically perform the ride without participation from their riders. But this time, they were all being stubborn. In front of me was a teenage boy and his horse, and towards the back of the forest, his horse just suddenly turned around and started back along the trail, going back the way we came. The boy fought the horse but could not turn it around. The trail master once again trotted off to get the horse and struggled to get it to return to line. We reached the ravine and were to enter it. The trail master's horse started to act up, refused to go down into the ravine, and was actually hopping on its back feet, trying to change its direction as it was led down into the ravine floor. It wasn't until we reached the far side of the ravine that the real trouble started. The horses started to bunch up so tight that my legs were actually hitting the other rider's legs and at times the other horses. The heavy lady's horse tried to make a break for it towards the cornfield, and she got caught in a branch and was being pulled off her saddle. The horse was not being or pulling hard, but it looked like it could have bolted and sheared her off its back without much trouble. It seemed to be indecisive about what it was doing. The pull from the lady and the shouting of the trail master seemed to stop the horse from continuing. Once all the horses were back on the trail and heading south along the back of the forest, things seemed to be doing well, other than the horses were clumped together and seemed to be frightened. About mid-forest, the horses all stopped and stayed clumped together. At the time, I had no idea what was going on. Even the trail master's horse would not move. So to pass the time, as the trail master fought with his horse, my sister and I looked around. The forest seemed nice and relaxing, but the horses definitely were tense. Then I saw it through the trees. It was just a plain white horse trotting through the woods on the far side of the ravine. It looked lost. I thought it had gotten loose from the ranch and wandered into the forest. I really suspected nothing of it, and it seemed quite ordinary. The horse stopped in a small clear belly in the forest, a low pocketed area with leaves and a dead stump. It looked around and seemed to notice us, but did not really care. Were there. To me, it looked like a unicorn without the horn, and I immediately pointed it out to my sister. She saw it and thought it was a beautiful horse. It was. It had long, flowing, silvery white mane, and only a little darkened felt-looking patch on the end of its nose. It moved very gracefully and trotted around in a small circular area. Quickly, the other riders caught on to what we were looking at, and soon all of us were appreciating the beautiful white horse. This quickly caught the trail master's attention, and he asked what we were looking at. I pointed to the horse and said to him, "One of your white horses must have gotten loose." He said back to me, "We don't have a white horse." He looked at it in the forest and turned white. He quickly became very serious and loud with his horse. He told us all to kick the horses to make them go. If they didn't move, we'd have to kick them harder until they did move. I did not like the idea, but we all did kick the horses. The horses reluctantly moved along the trail. We crossed back over the ravine at the south end, but instead of continuing along the southern trail, we cut back to the southern back corner of the back field along the portion of the second route that normally was traveled in the opposite direction. Once the horses broke through the forest and could see the barn, they all started into a full trot. Was the fastest I had been on a horse. They moved very quickly, and I was afraid that my sister would fall off, but there was no stopping the horses. They quickly moved across the field and splashed through the little stream. I could see the southern grazing field and notice that all the horses were packed tight against the barn. We quickly reached the barn and entered it from the rear. We all got off the horses, and the farmhands all looked confused as to why we had returned the way we did. I can remember thinking that perhaps there was bad weather coming, and the horses could tell and were acting funny because of it. The barn had three farmhands. The girl I had a crush on, a younger man with blonde hair, and an older heavy man. The trail master jumped down, started to help us off our horses. He quickly told the girl farmhand that we all saw it this time. The girl asked, "Saw what?" The trail master said, "The ghost horse." It was not very loud, but I heard it clear as day. So, my sister and the teenage boy next to us, the heavy old farmhand, heard it too and quickly left the barn out of the front. He returned a few seconds later and said, "The horses are all spooked and pressed up against the barn too." Farmhands quickly got all of us off the horses and out of the barns, and with a quick grin and shake of the hand, sent us out towards our cars. While the others pulled the horses in, the old man came up with written papers giving us a free ride next time. He apologized for the short ride and said they had to pack up the ranch. I don't remember what his reason was, but I do know that by the time we had gotten into the car and ready to leave, they had moved all the horses into the barn and they themselves were getting into their cars to leave. Only the old man stayed behind, finishing up. We left that day and I can remember thinking the whole day was very odd. I did not think about anything about the horses, as at the time I did not believe it was a ghost. The next couple of years, I continued to think the Trailmaster was just fooling with us, that they had something else they wanted to do. I returned that fall after school started. We took our last ride to the ranch. The old man was still there, but the farmhands were all new. Trail ride only went around the inside of the fields and never passed into the woods. After that, they closed for the season. The next year, the horses, the barn, plus horse, and the house, all gone. Very odd that everything was gone. All that was left was a footprint of where the house and barn were. Fencing, overgrown fields were still left, but that was it. Next couple of years, the land was vacant. Occasionally, you'd pass by and see military trucks parked in the driveway and several soldiers in training in the area. The land is still vacant today. Once I got into high school, I started to hear about the horse. I got to know some of the stories. There's two versions. Once, has it been the faithful horse of the dead British commander and is protecting, guarding the grave? The other is that it was a young Indian maiden's horse who was burned for witchcraft. The horse remains bonded to her and wanders the land looking for her. I have seen the horse 5 times, and each time I get a sorrow-filled feeling for it. Not really scared, just more in awe. The horse definitely still startles you when you first see it. But to me, it looks sad and lost. I hate to think the poor animal is stuck like that for eternity. Next time I saw the horse, I was in the ravine in the middle of the night looking for a satanic altar. But we were scared out of the woods that night, and I did not return until sometime later. The third time I saw it, I was about 17, and it was in my parents' car. We were driving home late one night and passed by the old ranch area. It was foggy and misty from a recent rain that had just let up. I just happened to be looking out the window over the overgrown fields in the back, and I caught sight of it as it trotted along the forest edge in the mist. It was very beautiful and mournful looking. I pointed it out to my sister, who also developed an interest in it. She caught some of it, but not fully, as we were traveling fairly quickly and we already were passing beyond the ranch. Fourth time I saw it, I was later in that year, still 17, and winter was just letting off. It was late morning, probably before 8 a.m. We normally would have been sleeping, but we were on our way home after staying the night in a cabin. We were off really early to make it home in time to pack up and head north. Our route home brought us past Sutton Creek Forest, the Texas Road graveyard. I did not set out to find the horse, but as we passed, I could see in the edge of the trees a white horse moving deeper into the forest. I immediately told my friends we turned back to take a look. It's not the same group that was with me in the ravine, but they had all heard the stories and were all equally interested. This time we had a small camera. I don't remember what kind, but it was small and rectangular and popped out sideways. It lengthened to about twice its original length and exposed a flash square and the picture aperture. The film was loaded in the back through a door and was B-shaped. can remember that it was not that good of a camera, but it was capable of taking pictures. It was all that we had. Since we did not want to get caught trespassing, as we were warned before, we stopped on the side of the main road on the north side of the forest, thinking leaving the car hidden in plain sight would be a strategically wise idea. Amazingly, we did not get caught. The reason we pulled over was to get a picture of the horse, but the camera was buried in the back of the car and the horse was moving deeper into the woods. So we left the camera and ventured into the woods on the side of the road to get a better look without a camera. The ground was still very wet from the recent loss of snow, and the air was still crisp enough to see our breaths. We did not travel in very far, and we all caught a glimpse of the white horse trotting through the trees. But the horse was not staying still. The forest in the front section was thick and hard to see through. We did get some good glimpses. I remember specifically seeing the horse stop and snort and seeing the horse's breath in the air, which would be odd for a ghost. After a few minutes, the horse moved deeper into the woods, and we could no longer see it. Since we had all seen it, we decided to leave the woods and return home before we were caught. In the car, it was a very tough conversation about the story behind the ghost horse. With the four of us in the car, two guys, two girls, I was the only one that thought it was a ghost. I think my girlfriend at the time was giving me the benefit of the doubt, but the others thought it was a real horse. To be honest, it sure did look real, but we cannot explain why it was in the woods and far away from any ranch. We came to the reluctant conclusion it could be a ghost horse. I totally understand this, as they were not there before. To be honest, it's what I thought the first time I saw it. The fourth time I saw the horse was when I was visiting the Texas Road graveyard. We often would visit the graveyard and take new people to see it, but typically nothing happened. Was at night, and we were sneaking in on a dare. It was freaky. I was with three girls and another guy. Though it was creepy, nothing was happening, so the guy pinched one of the girls, and she screamed. The scream scared everyone. But seconds after her scream, the white horse bolted from the roadside across the back of the graveyard and into the forest on the far side. It did not jump over the large chain railing around the graveyard, nor did it leap over the deep drainage ditch it passed over on its way into the forest. Creeped the girls out, and we quickly left. They were not waiting for us, and we were our ride, so we left too. The last time I saw the horse was actually not too long ago. It was a stormy night. I was returning from a business trip. I was driving carefully in the bad weather. I passed the Sutton Creek Forest and had a brief glimpse of the horse running in a circular arc from our overgrown field to the forest. I was awed by it. It had been a long time since I'd seen it. If anyone is looking to see a ghost, this is the one to look for. Been frequently seen by many people over the years. It's hard to tell if it's a ghost at first, but the same horse has been in the same woods for at least 23 years now. I don't know how long horses live, but there is nothing out there for it to live on. If you're able to get a real good look at it, you'll know what it is. Just don't get caught trespassing.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.